Amen. Well, Brother Ecom, come on. I happened to meet him. How many years ago was that?
2011.
11.
Yeah.
2011, we met in Ghana, Africa. He's not from Africa, but we just happened to meet there. We went to the same Bible school, and we were teaching at a Bible school over there at the same time. And he was a blessing there, and we were looking forward to the day we could have him come in here. And he's been a blessing every time. So enjoy.
Hallelujah. Bless God.
Woo! You know, I found out that Pastor Shelley is extremely competitive. Yeah. I mean, I really had no idea. I beat her in the basketball game. Of course I'm going to win, right? Of course. And then she's like, let's go again. And I was like, is she really expecting to win? Okay, let's go again. And then she beat me, and I was like, oh, no. I mean, I was literally sweating playing a little basketball game. So praise the Lord. It's good to see everybody. How many people, like, right now need healing? Like, you have an ailment or some sort of sickness or some sort of issue in your body? Lift your hand high. Don't be shy. I'm not going to throw anything at you or anything. And keep your hands lifted just for a second. Are you born again? With the ones with their hands lifted, are you born again? For those who don't know what born again means, it means you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Lift it high. Lift it really high. Lift it really high. The Bible says that in Rome, you can put them down now, you know, or you can stand, sit, whichever. And in Romans 8:11, that if the same spirit that raised, and I've said this before, but I just felt led to say this. The same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, that's heavy, right? The Holy Spirit, the precious spirit that went down and got Jesus up out of the grave, resurrection power is already on the inside of you. And it says that spirit can quicken or make alive your mortal body. Amen. Oh, it's so good to see you, by the way. Way over there in the corner, yes. Hallelujah. It's good to be seen. I've always wanted to say that, by the way. It's just good to be seen. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead is already on the inside of you. So when we may lay hands, I was led in my heart to mention that on Sunday night we're going to be pretty much dealing with the issue of healing. So if you know anyone that's in a wheelchair, yes. If you know anyone that's dead, yes. Come on, the Bible says, is there anything too hard for God? There may be some things that's too hard for us, like playing Pastor Shelley in a basketball game over and over and over again. But there's nothing too hard for Jesus. Amen. Amen. And that spirit that's in your body right now, he's quickening it. He's dealing with that ailment. And you may not see the actual physical evidence right now at this particular moment, but you can see that physical evidence right now in this particular moment in your body. The Holy Spirit's in you. Woo! Amen, amen. So I guess this is a 27-year anniversary? I don't know how y'all can be so quiet on that. I wasn't even born when the church started, right? For real or something. Like 27 years, no, I was born. But 27 years of ministry, Pastor Gary and Pastor Shelley in Harvest Point Church have probably unintentionally tripped over some things that I've never experienced ever in my life. And I think that, how do I say this, Lord? That it would be, I guess ignorant is the word I'm looking for, to not honor that, to not appreciate that. And I count it an honor from you guys asking me to come. I'm like, God, they're not sick of me yet up there? But 27 years of ministry is, and there's many, 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 many more. But, I mean, I've been in full-time ministry since May 18th of 2007. How many years is that? Who can add? Nine? 27 years. Right? And they have such humility and respect to the Spirit of God that they asked me to come. You understand what I'm saying? And that's priceless. And so you guys need to know that. Can we give Harvest Point Church a hand clap of praise? 27 years of ministry. My wife, Robin, go with me real quick to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. I have an idea of what we're going to preach on today. It's a little different. What page is Ecclesiastes on? Is that how you say that? Ecclesiastes. My wife, Robin, you guys miss her? You guys? Y'all want to Snapchat her real quick? We'll do it later. No, she wants to, trust me. She's like, Snapchat me, you know? She sends her greetings. My home church in Denham Springs, Louisiana, they send their greetings. My kids send their greetings. You know, in Africa, when you send your greetings, they actually wave back as if they can see you. But, you know, y'all supposed to wave back? Okay, good. Has anybody felt the burning, warming feeling on the inside of them, the Holy Spirit, as you've just been sitting there? I promise you, there's some of you are not going to need to be touched, but you're going to be touched. Just sitting there. There's a man, you guys may have heard of him, by the name of John G. Lake. And I'm not sure if I told this story before, but it's one of the most profound thoughts about healing that I've ever heard before. John G. Lake was in a meeting, and this was during the time where kind of blacks and whites didn't kind of hang out all the time, but, you know, it's a new day, right? It's a new day. And so this lady was in the meeting. It was a black lady. She was in the meeting, and she was waiting for him to lay hands on her, and what the Lord had told him, I don't want you to lay hands on this lady. And so she kind of thought it was because she was black. But he finally had to tell her, and it took her 20 minutes to realize it wasn't a racial thing. He was obeying the Lord. And then she said, why? Why won't I believe that if you lay hands on me, what am I talking about healing tonight? If you lay hands on me, I'll be healed. That was her belief. She believed that if this man of God would lay hands on her, she would be healed. But he said, no. God told me not to lay hands on you. The same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives on the inside of you. She said, no. You're the man of God. If you lay hands on me, I will receive my healing. He said, no. The same spirit. And this went on for 20 minutes. He just kept repeating himself. The lady's getting annoyed, and then finally to hit her. She said, wait a minute. Jesus lives on the inside of me? The Holy Spirit lives on the inside of me? He's like, yes, duh. She had rheumatoid, how do you say rheumatoid? I'm glad I can't pronounce these things. I don't really need to. And she had arthritis. She got up, walked away, completely healed. Completely set free because she got a revelation. It just got insight because the way she thought changed. Whew. If we could just change the way we think. And also, are you guys in Ecclesiastes? Let's pray. Father, you're good. Help me tonight, Lord. Because what you placed in my spirit, what you placed in my belly is different. And I sense your holiness on it. Yeah, I sense your holiness there, Lord. Help me say exactly what you want me to say. We're hungry for you, Father. Sometimes I quake, Father, for your presence. I don't know how to explain it, but sometimes, Father, I just only want to be with you. May we're able to impart that tonight. The hunger for Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, starting at verse 1, it's familiar. We've probably read it a bunch of times. We've seen it. If you've been in church anytime, you've seen it. Or maybe you saw it on a bumper sticker or on somebody's refrigerator. It's everywhere. Before I ever come minister at a church, especially when it's a church that I come to at least once a year, I always say, I want to know what, I say, Father, what are you saying? I don't want to just preach anything. I want to hear from the Spirit of God, and we have great pastors who will judge it, and that's okay with me. Lord, what are you saying? What are you saying to the body? You're speaking. I believe Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I don't think he changes year by year. He's the same God. Amen. He's still healing. He's still raising the dead. He's still smacking the devil around. That's really our job. He doesn't change, but there's times where he begins to challenge us. When he begins to, let me say it how Galatians chapter 4 says it, that though you were a child of God, at that time, sometimes we differed nothing from a servant. Though we were Lord, Galatians 4 verse 1, though we were Lord of all. So sometimes, and let me make that simple for you, that if I have a Mercedes and I have a 3-year-old child, he's the rightful heir to the Mercedes, but I let him drive at 3. That would just be dumb. And so as we mature, God begins to bring us to a place where he begins to say, now you can drive this. Now you can carry this. Now you can walk on this, walk in this. So the message that I'm gonna kind of get to tonight, or try to get to tonight, let's just read. Ecclesiastes, however you say it, chapter 3, verse 1. To everything there is a season and a time. To every purpose under heaven, to everything there is a season and a time. To every purpose under heaven. I'll just read it one more time. To everything. Somebody say everything.
Everything.
To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose, every purpose, every purpose under heaven. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. Excuse me. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to launch. Laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. Woo, we like that part. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. You get the gist. I want to go back to verse 1. To everything there is a season. Say everything. There's a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. I want to try my best to minister a message called "This a New Season." It's a new season. And in my notes, when I was actually kind of meditating this, I wrote this, and it's time to change. It's time to change. And what I was sensing from that is sometimes we don't like, maybe I should go stand in the back and say this, but sometimes we don't like change. Right? As a matter of fact, I heard someone say it like this, and I love this quote. They said, if we like to be comfortable, we don't need the comforter. I'm going to go over here. Right? Jesus called the comforter the Holy Spirit. I mean, he called the Holy Spirit the comforter. Right? And something, if we'd like to be comfortable, then we have no need for the Holy Ghost. And sometimes change makes us very uncomfortable. Hallelujah. I see you looking at me. Go with me to Luke chapter 7. Luke, I am your father. Who knows that movie? See, they changed the characters. Never mind. Luke chapter 7, we're going to look at maybe one person. We may not get to all the thoughts that I have in my heart tonight. But just look at your neighbor and say, it's time to change. Look at your other neighbor and tell him, elbow him really hard and say, it's a new season. Th- Just hit them. Yeah, it's all good. We like to be free up in here, so. I'm going to give you an example. We're going to look at the scripture in a second. I'll give you an example. I love that. I feel like I'm with family, so I can be a little more transparent. I was actually telling the pastors last night that it was, and when I came here the very first time, when Alyssa didn't like me, hallelujah, probably a few others, amen, that it was when I came to Harvest Point, this is really true, Melissa, what I'm about to say, I would never hug anyone. Never. And for some reason, y'all just wouldn't stop hugging me. Like, I was like, my God, these people are touchy-feely, right? But then I came home with something on me. Lots of women's perfume. And I came home different. There was something that changed in my heart. And because of that, because of your craziness, there was a greater anointing on my ministry from that point on. Because now whenever I went, I was just hugging people. I couldn't stop. I'm like, I don't even know them. But God changed me. And it didn't hurt. It felt funny. I mean, so now today, like, even if I'm around, I can go in the grocery store and see someone that I do not know at all, and I'll just look at them and say, you need a hug. And I'll just grab them and start hugging on them. And they're like, what? And it hasn't changed. And everything, and that was something I was telling them last night, that it just changed me. It just on the inside of me, people were hugging me, and I was like this, like a fish, like, oh, my God. But there's times and there's seasons that God says, okay, it's time to grow up a little bit. Now, for me, the reason, wow, really transparent, the reason that I didn't hug is because I was afraid. I didn't want to. Come on, but the Bible says, don't you love the Bible? Perfect love casts out fear. Because fear has torment. And there's no fear in love. Right? And y'all was hugging me like a wild person. Having all these conversations. I just wasn't used to it. And then all of a sudden now you guys loved me. And you broke something in my life. You did. And I'm forever changed. And it was good. It was okay. But sometimes it's not always, change doesn't always feel that way, you know. But it's good. So God spoke to me. He said there's two types. There's four people in here tonight, but there's two types of change. There's two types of people that need or want change. I hope I can say this the right way. The first person that wants change is a person that recognizes they need to be changed. Let's call it grow up for those who don't like to say change. That, well, some people don't like that either. They want to be a Toys R Us kid their whole life, right? Call it what you want, but I'm saying another level. Another dimension, a greater glory, a realm that's beyond the normal existence of everyday life. He wants us to come to that place. That's the first level, that you recognize it. You look at yourself in the mirror, you still think you're cute, but you're like, man. Come on, you look at your finances, and you say, I'm 45 or 60, and I need to change. I recognize that I need to change, and the second part of this first person, I not only recognize that I need to change, but I recognize that the world needs to change. That when I look at, I'm gonna say them all so no one gets upset with me. When I look at BBC, when I look at MSNBC, when I look at CNN, when I look at Fox News, I don't know if there's other ones, when I look at the internet, I recognize that the world needs a change. I recognize that I need to change, and I also recognize that the world needs to change. And then the other person is that I don't even notice that I need to change. But I only notice what everybody else needs to change. I don't even see my change. I don't even notice my change because I don't pay attention to my heart. The Bible says, out of the abundance of the heart, one translation says, out of the overflow of the heart, My mouth speaks, and they can, and we can tell what you really believe or what you really care about by your Facebook post. By what you say is what I'm saying. We can have a 5-minute conversation, and we can understand what's really in your heart by what's coming out of your mouth. And I do that sometimes. I can recognize, man, there's some ugliness up in there. Because all I do is talk negative. But the negative is about others. It's not about themselves. When we talk about the first person recognizes that they do need the change, and they also recognize that the world needs the change. The second person is they only recognize that others need the change. They never see themselves. In Luke chapter 7, we're going to start at verse 36. There's a woman in the Bible here, and these are all familiar scriptures. Are you guys okay? Alyssa, you good back there? Okay. Say this, say, I need to change. Say this, I don't want to change. Come on, just participate. Think about that. I need to, but I don't want to. Some of us are just comfortable, and that's not against God. Hear me with love. That's not against being comfortable. It's not against God. But when God begins to challenge you and say it's time to come up here, we have to yield to that. We see here in this story, familiar story. You probably read it before. Verse 36, Luke 7, verse 36. I'm going to probably read the whole thing, and then we'll go back over it. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him, referring to Jesus. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat some ribs. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat to eat those ribs in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with her tears and to wipe them with the hairs of her head. Excuse me. Let's just read verse 38 again. Verse 37, I'm sorry. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she saw that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, she brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him, weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. Now when the Pharisees, which had asked him to come, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what woman this is that touched him, for she is a sinner. Verse 40, and Jesus answering said unto Simon, I have somewhat to say unto thee, Simon. And he saith, go ahead, master, say it. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors. The one owed 500 pence and the other 50. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both. Tell me, therefore, which of them will love him the most? Simon said, obviously, Lord. Answered and said, I suppose that he who had been forgiven most. He said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. And he turned to the woman. Remember the woman that was crying and wiping his feet and pouring the oil on him and out of the. He turns to the woman and he said, you see this woman here, Simon? I entered into your house, and thou gave me no water for my feet. But she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hair from her head. You gave me no kiss. This woman, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. My head with oil thou did not anoint me, but this woman hath anointed my feet with ointment. Wherefore I say unto thee, her sins, which are many, are forgiven. Say forgiven. For she loved much. Ooh, I love you, Joe. I love you, Jesus. For she loved much, but to whom little is forgiven, the same loveth little. Verse 48. And he said unto this woman, thy sins are forgiven. Oh, I love you, Jesus. And they that sat to eat those ribs, to eat that meat with him, began to say within themselves, who is this that can forgive sins also? And then he said to the woman, thy faith, oh, glorious, this is glorious. Thy faith has saved thee. Go in shalom. Go in nothing missing and nothing broken. Amen. So let's back up. Real quick, I believe the Lord is saying to us in this hour that it's a new season. And then I failed to mention this to you before, but sometimes when the seasons change, there's some people, I think maybe I did say this, they're a little uncomfortable with when the cheese season changes. But when there's a person that wants to change, man, they will do things a little different than the person that sees everybody else needs to change. In this story, what you see is two people. You see a person who wanted change. You see a person who needed change, but then you see a person who only looked at what everyone else needed to do, and that person was the Pharisee. That person was the Pharisee. Now, in this context, this Pharisee was religious, I guess we can call it that. He was against everything else that was going around him. When you look up the word Pharisee in the Greek, there's no root word for it in the Greek. But if you go into the Hebrew, the root word for Pharisee, one of the words means wounded. How interesting. As the Pharisees, they were against the political system. They were against the religious system. They were only for what they believed in. Some translations say they had a certain social mindset that they had. And anyone else that was outside of this mindset, they were considered to be a sinner. Anyone else that was outside of what they believed or what they wanted, they were considered to be a sinner. And so here, he invites Jesus into his house. Hallelujah. But he didn't do what was traditionally done when you invited guests into your house. See, Jesus points out, he says, let's read it again. In verse 36, he says, and one of the Pharisees desired that he would eat with him. And he went into the Pharisee's house and sat down to eat. But traditionally, in those days, when someone came into your house, they wore sandals and their feet were dirty. And there was someone that would stand at the door and they would wipe your feet and wipe your hands. They actually do this in Africa, in Ghana. Woo! They do this in Ghana sometimes. They'll wear a towel over their arm and they'll come and they'll bring you a bowl because they touch a lot of things. And so before they eat, they want to clean their hands. But here Jesus is sitting at the table. Everyone's sitting at the table, and they have unclean hands, and they haven't washed their feet. They didn't do what was necessary. But this woman, it says that she heard that Jesus was coming. Now, she wasn't even supposed to be up in there. I'm going to say that again. She wasn't even supposed to be in there. And sometimes when you need change, sometimes when you want change, you will sacrifice yourself. When you say, my doggoneness is more than it used to be, I can't stay where I was, I have to go to another level, I have to meet Jesus another level, I have to be healed, I will step into the Pharisee's house. I will step into the wounded's house. I'll step into the ones that hate me. I'll step into the ones that want to stone me. I'll step into the ones that don't want me anywhere around if I can just get close to Jesus. If I can just close to Jesus. And I want you to notice what she did here. Say, I want to change. Say, I don't want to change. Because sometimes change requires you to do something dangerous. Sometimes change requires you to do something outside of the ordinary. Sometimes change requires you to lift your hands. Sometimes change requires you to ask for help. Little things. Sometimes change requires you to sing the song. See, this woman, thank you for that, Spirit of God. This woman, I'm going to read it, but I want to say it first. This woman, simply by her hunger to change, tapped into a heavenly source. Oh, hallelujah. She was able to tap in to heaven's resources, and she wasn't in covenant with God, but she wanted to change. She was able to access, okay, Jesus said this way. He said, boy, are y'all getting excited? I'm getting excited. Jesus said, pray this way. Our Father, come on, I know y'all, some of y'all used to be Catholic. Our Father, who art in heaven, where was the Father there? He said, hallowed be thy name. Well, you don't have to repeat it after me. I just said you used to be Catholic. Oh, you turned Catholic really quick. Some of y'all need to change, right? Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. The word hallowed means to worship. It means to worship. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy what? Kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is heaven. She was able to access the kingdom of God. She was able to access the heart of the Father simply because she decided to bow down. And I mean, I don't know a lot about this woman, but all I know is she needed to change. See, her need to change was greater than what the Pharisees thought. Her need to change was greater than what CNN thought. I'll talk about CNN because I know y'all watched the other one, right? Her need to change was greater than what her grandmother said about her. Her need to change was greater than her sin. I'm getting too excited to read the whole thing, so stop, slow down. And so Jesus is in the house with the Pharisees, verse 37, and I feel like this is the Pharisee talking. He says, behold, a woman in the city which was a sinner, when she saw Jesus, who did she see? See, some of us are having struggle with the new season God is calling us to because we don't see Jesus anymore. I'm going to say that one again, and then I'm going to do the silent pause like Pastor Shelley told me to do. I'm going to say two things here. Behold, this is 1 John 3, verse 1. You don't have to turn there. Verse 1 and 2. 1 John 3, 1 and 2. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon you, that you should be called the children of God. Yet it doesn't appear what you shall be. The word appear there is better translated manifest. So yet it has not manifested what you shall be. But then the next part says, but when you see him, as he is, you shall be like him. Behold, look at. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon you that you should be called the children of God. Yet it doesn't appear what you shall be, but when you see him as he is. Come on, man. Austin was saying it earlier. He was kind of stealing my message. I think sometimes that we forget. Pastor Gary said, leaned over to me and said something to me. I was like, Lord, am I supposed to preach? Sometimes we forget that I once was lost and now I'm found. Why am I saying? Because sometimes we take our eyes off Jesus. We have our eyes on our circumstances. That's what the Pharisee was doing. Come on, Jesus, the King of Kings is in his house. The Lord of Glory is in his house. The one that's raising the dead. The one that's casting out devils. But he had no concern. He really just wanted to figure out if Jesus was the one. But this woman who needed change said, I don't know if he's the one, but I know that if I get down low enough, I know that if I weep, if I wash his feet with my tears, if I worship him, if I love him, if I exalt him, if I hold on to him, then something's got to change. And when she did that, she tapped into a heavenly realm that hadn't even manifested yet. Why do you say that, Brother Egan? Because Jesus hadn't gone to the cross yet. Come on. The message wasn't even to those people yet. But she was able to pull in to her now. She was able to change her season. At the end of this, at the beginning, she was called a sinner. But at the end of this, Jesus said, it was your faith. And when she began to worship, at that moment, she became a faith person. And God no longer saw sin. He saw a person justified. He saw a person in love. Let's go to another scripture, Mark chapter 2. Are y'all still here? Say I want to change. Say I don't want to change. But I need change. God is saying to us, I need you to change. I know you don't want to, but I need you to. Because I want to do some things in Harvest Point. But before I can do it in Harvest Point, or as Austin said, Harvest Point, he said that Thursday, we are the church. So before I can do it in the church, I got to do it in the church. I got to do it in your heart. I got to do it in your heart. I got to do it in your heart. There's another person here that wanted change. And I love what they did. Mark chapter 2, verse 1. And again, he entered into Capernaum after some days. And it was noise that he was in the house. We read in Luke chapter 7, Jesus was in the house. I feel like that's a rap song or something, right? Is that? Y'all gonna make one? Can you beatbox, Courtney? For beatbox means, no, I'm just kidding. You don't need to know what it means. He entered into Capernaum, and after some days, it was noised that he was in the house. This wasn't a Green Bay Packers game. Come on now. This wasn't the Cowboys and Dak Prescott beating. Sorry, I'm a Cowboys fan. I had to throw that in there. It was noised abroad that Jesus was in the house. I just feel like the people around the corners, the people around the streets, the people on 5th and 5th, they could hear because there was an excitement in the air because people knew what Jesus was doing. Man, in 2016, if we would get louder for Jesus, if we would make some noise for Jesus, if we would stop focusing like the Pharisees on the sin and focus on him, maybe we would be louder. As a matter, thank you for that, Holy Ghost. The thing that you get most excited about is the thing that's probably leading your life. I'm going to say that over here. The thing that you get most stirred up about, the thing that you get most excited about is the thing that's probably leading you. As a man thinketh in his heart. Ooh, Lord, dealing with our hearts tonight. But why would he do that? It's 27 years, Ekim. It's 27 years. You're supposed to speak a shouting message. I am shouting. Because the Lord wants to see, who wants to see the miraculous? Let me thank you. I'm going to correct myself. Who has seen the miraculous? Who wants to see more of the miraculous? You know there's some that don't. I don't even get, look, Jesus was in the town. Can I talk to you? Jesus was in the town, right? There was a crazy man walking around. I think he was buck naked. Right? He's just walking around. Jesus, this is my version of it. This is the IK Ekim Visa version. Jesus is a buck naked man walking around. Jesus walks over and says, what's your name? He says, my name is Legion. We are many. Jesus says, go to the pigs. He goes to the pigs. And the people from the town, they show up. And they see the man in his right mind. This dude was chained up and broke the chains all the time. And he's chilling in his right mind. And the people say, Jesus, please leave. Can you please leave our city? They didn't want change. And we're experiencing that in our, maybe I shouldn't say change. Maybe I should use another. We're experiencing that in our nation right now. And God is saying, nation, Harvest Point, it's a new season. It's a new season. And I want your heart to change. I want you to love me like you used to. I want you to get to church on time like you used to. Small things. I want you to tithe like you used to. I want you to shout for joy like you used to. That lady's worship was an expression of her faith. In Acts chapter 16, they were in prison. Talk about wanting some change. They were in prison. And they began to sing praises to his name. Man, I would be mad as a hornet's nest. Many people are saying, we're coming. We may be coming to those days. We may be coming to those days. I'm just telling you like it is. If I got arrested for preaching the gospel, I'd be a little ticked for a minute, at least a minute. But them? I sing praises to your name. Oh, Lord. So much that the place began to shake and they got set free. So was it the prison that set them free, or was it the it was the praise that set them free. But here's the thing. They weren't focused on the prison. See, the Pharisee was focused on the sin. They weren't focused on the drama. They weren't focused on the Kardashians. They weren't focused on what was going on TV. They was focused on the reality of heaven. There's a scripture I want to read. I know it said Mark chapter 2, but I want to go there. Let's go to Acts chapter 5 real quick. Are y'all with me tonight? Say, I want to change. Say, I don't want to change, but I need to change. I read this the other day, Pastor Gary, and it probably took me, this is not an exaggeration, 45 minutes to get past this. This word we're about to read right here. Do I have time? How much time do I have? I want to read two. Let's go. Did I say Mark 5? Thank you. Acts 5. I'm going to read verse 20. Acts 5, verse 20. This is the Holy Spirit speaking to them after they got let out of jail here. Go stand in the temple. Go stand in the temple to the people. Wait, am I saying that right? Thank you. Oh, wait. Did y'all read that right too? Go stand in the temple. Or did it say go stand and speak in the temple? Go stand and speak in the temple to the people all the words of this life. It was one of my favorite scriptures, but that's not what I wanted to read to you. Let's go to the next verse. I just love that because he said they were in prison and they got set free. And the angel says, go stand in the temple. Come on, you just got arrested for this. They just got arrested for this. I just got off parole. And the angel shows up and go stand in the temple. Go do the same thing you just got arrested for. And he says, go speak the words of this life. Of this life. The one I just got arrested for. What kind of life is that? Go tell them about this life. So then they go and they preach. This story is kind of funny to me because the people show up to the prison. Where the heck did they go? And some dude shows up and he says, my version again. Some dude shows up and says, yo, they in the temple. How did they get there? Come on, how did they get there? To me, that would have been enough to confirm that God was on their side. But they were so caught up in looking at everything else, they were so trying to keep their world together, they missed God. And we can miss the season, we can miss the transition, we can miss what God has for us because our purpose is a little off. Because we our purpose was focused on him at a time, but we somehow drift over here and got caught up with reality TV. That's the news, by the way. If we could just get our focus back over here to Christ and see him as he is and worship him and tap into heaven's realities. So here they are. They just got arrested, and they're back in the temple doing some things we probably never do. I want you to notice verse 38, Acts chapter 5, verse 38. And now I say unto you, refrain these men. They're talking to him. Refrain from these men and let them alone. This is the guy telling them what not to, to leave them alone. For if this counsel or this work be of men, it will come to naught. But if it be of God, you cannot overthrow it. Finally, someone with wisdom. Lest happily you be found fighting against God. And verse 40, and to him they agreed. And when they had called the apostles, and they beat them. So they agreed. Yeah, you're right, you're right. We probably should leave him alone. But let's knock him up with the head, upside the head first. Let's beat him. They commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus and let them go. Now I want you to notice verse 41. And here's why I've been messed up for about a week. They departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. What kind of Christian is that? Say, I need to change. But I don't want to change. But I need to. If we're really coming to those days, I'm not, Pastor Gary will deal with it on Thursday, I think. But if we're coming to those days, boy, we need to change. There's a man named Stephen or Stephen. It depends on what neighborhood you're from. Right? I have a cousin. His name is spelled the same way, but we call him Stephen. So is it Stephen or Stephen? Not really sure. In my neighborhoods, it's both. He got stoned. It actually says they started biting him. Come on, you ever been bit before for the name of Jesus? What kind of Christians were these people? They gnawed on them. They actually put their mouth on them. They got so mad because he preached truth. They started eating him. Not the Walking Dead now. And while they were biting him, it was as if Stephen didn't even notice it. He looked up and saw heaven opened. What the heck was wrong with his dude? He had changed. He had changed. And then he had the audacity to say this. I want to throw my Bible when I read it. He said, Lord, forgive them. How many times, Lord, should we forgive? 70 times 7, Lord, help my faith. But Stephen was on a whole nother level. He's getting beaten and stoned, and he's looking into heaven. And I think that's one of the only times you see Jesus standing. He says, forgive them. For they know not what they do. Doesn't that sound like exactly what Jesus said? See, the Bible says in Ephesians that we're supposed to grow up into him. See, the ultimate expression of Christianity is for us to be like him. And so, I mean, you know, look, I'm not fully there. Are you? So then we need to change. Let's go back to Mark. Mark's more of a happy scripture. So let's go back over there. I feel like the Lord's dealing with the hearts. I think worship for me, it's the easiest way for me to say words or to express my heart to him in unity with other people because the song helps me pray, if that makes sense. Like, there's no sweeter name, right? There's no sweeter name. There's no sweeter name. There's no sweeter name than the name of Jesus. And I want to say this to you. If you're born again here and that name is not sweet to you anymore, then God's talking to you tonight. If that name's not sweet to you anymore, if church is a burden, I'm saying this, if coming to church and listening to, let's say Pastor Shelley, listening to Pastor Shelley is a burden to you, then this message is for you tonight. But if you're like this woman and you've never encountered Jesus, you don't know what the heck I'm talking about, you might think I'm talking about some Latino dude named Jesus, you have no idea what I'm talking about, but you know in your heart, I need change. I can't keep going the same way I've been going. My mama went that way. My daddy went that way. My grandma went that way. My uncle went that way. They're in prison. They're dead. They died of this. They died of that. But I know that I need to change. My heart's been burning on the inside of me saying, I want more out of life. I want to. So Jesus is here for you tonight as well. Let's do that. Let's just bow our heads for a second. Let's do that. Thank you, Lord. Forget Mark chapter 2. Just bear with me for a minute. Endure the silence. Let the Lord minister to your heart. That's the holiness of his presence. That's the holiness of his presence. If you're someone in this church tonight, and you say, I don't know Jesus. I've gone to church, but I have no relationship with Jesus. I'm like the woman who they identified with sin. I want you to know tonight, Jesus took every burden and every stripe. He took every sin that you ever thought you were, every ugly, every nasty thing you ever done. You say, there's no way Ekim Jesus can forgive me. He already has. He already has forgiven you. Just tonight, you need to accept that forgiveness. The second person I'm talking to, you saying, look, I need to change. If that's you, just raise your hand. You say, I need to change. I'm ready for change. I'm ready for a new season. I'm ready for great purpose. I'm ready to see the glory. I'm ready to see the. I'm ready to be the manifestation of the Son of God in the earth. If that's you, just lift your hand where you are. If you can put your hands down. If you're that person that said, I don't know Jesus. But I feel like the woman. I got to weep on the inside of me. My heart is broken. I need to know him. Just show me your hand. I need to really know him. The third person is like, I don't want to change. But I need to. Show me your hand. I flat out don't want to change. But I know that I need to. Just lift your hand where you are. If that's you, just lift your hand. I don't want to change, but I know I need to. Just show me your hand real quick. Show me your hand real quick. There was two hands that I saw. You can look up. You can look up. Everybody didn't have their head bowed in the eyes, so y'all are fine. You can open your eyes now. It's okay to have fun in church, right? But I've been sensing it all afternoon. I sense, and I can't find another way to describe it, but his holiness. Does that make sense to anyone? Are y'all just like, what? Holy, what are you talking about? I sense a separation. I sense the Lord is saying, I want you to separate. I want you to come out from among them. Can I have the worship team come? Actually, can I just have two of the worship team come? Just you two? Yes. Y'all stay ready, though. Let's just stand to our feet for a second. Hallelujah. Woo! Are y'all all right? It's a little different, right? But the Lord, I feel like, he wants to change our hearts. He wants to take us to another level. Do you sense that? You sense that? Who wants to go to another level? Don't lie in church now. So I thought it was a skateboard. Shobrasta no shoto. If you can pray in the Holy Ghost, just pray in the Holy Ghost. Shota bro koto sete brosto so. Sto shato brasto ne sete le broto. Sto da basto shende mo sto shaka. Sto da basto sete. Sto da basto sete bro koto shakata. Sto shata basto sete. Sto da basto sete. Just lift your hands high. as they play, I just want you to think about, just let your heart be ministered to. Just receive. Just receive. A dose from heaven. In the name of Jesus, I release you. I release you. Be free. Yeah. Yeah. Just receive. Just receive. Just receive. Yeah. Just receive. It's okay. More testimonies from you. More testimonies from you. Because you're in heaven's view. For I came here tonight just for you. Yeah, yeah, yeah. The Father sees you. And he knows, because he knows, everything must go. In the name of Jesus. Smiley. I saw you and your whole family walking into the glory. Walking into a realm of glory. Where there were expenses. Expenses. There's a realm of the glory where expenses become less. The burden is less. The Lord loves her. Just let her go. Just let her go. She's fine. She's fine. Where's Alyssa? You part of the family. Is she up here? Oh, I'll get her next time. If you say, I want to be changed, just lift your hands for me. Father, a man of love. Simple, yet deep. A man after God's heart. Ooh. Oh, wait, I was talking to y'all about that. If you say I want change, come now. Just come now. Receive that in the name of Jesus. Just make a straight line starting at my friend right here, straight across. Right there. Let him line up with you. Yeah, 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 yeah. You stay right there. Who you with? Are y'all together? Who you with? Y'all stay right. Wait, are y'all all together? They're related? Yeah, hold hands. Just lift them all together. How much more shall the Father give of the Holy Spirit to them that ask. Woo! Receive in Jesus' name. Receive in Jesus' name. Receive the change you've been asking for. I want more. I want more. The Lord said, you can have it. 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 I speak to swelling in the body. Yeah. Just receive. Just lift your hands where you are. Lift your hands where you are. Change! Change doesn't always look like it did yesterday, but it'll look different tomorrow. I don't even know if that makes any sense. But change is here for Harvest Point. A greater dimension of glory. A greater realm. It's not going to look like it used to be. They're going to preach different than it used to be. There's going to be a heart change. You're going to want to serve. You're going to want to serve. I don't want to serve, but I want to serve. You're going to want to serve. I don't want to serve, but I want to serve. I don't know why, but I just want to serve. I don't know why I want to give that $1 million. Hallelujah. Who wants to be a big-time giver? Who is that? Get over here right now. I want to be a big-time giver. I don't have it, but I want to be. That sounds like a rap song, too. Well, you can stay down. It's fine. He can hit you while you're there, too. I desire to be a big-time giver. When you're in the glory realm, finances come easy. What's your name? There's like 5 Melissas in here. I want to be a big-time giver. Lift your hands. See, that's a change to even admit that. Because most people have, listen, it's money with a mission. It's money for the purpose of the kingdom. It's for the purpose of the kingdom. It's for the purpose of the kingdom. They're not buying jets yet. Hallelujah. Where's the guy with the drums? Ben, he left too? Father, we pray for their finances. Father, we pray for their finances right now in the name of Jesus. Where's Mama Shelley? Mama Shelley? Put your hand on the lady's stomachs. Father, in Jesus' name. It's not my faith, it's their faith. I agree with their faith according to your word. I can't give them finances, but see their heart today. You love a chill forgiver. You love a chill forgiver. You'll begin to give and you'll begin to laugh. You'll begin to give and just laugh. Why am I giving this? It's the joy of the Lord. Why am I giving this? It's the joy of the Lord. He loves a cheerful giver. And it's not for me, it's for the kingdom. In the name of Jesus, for the kingdom. In the name of Jesus, for the kingdom. Yeah. Where's Mama Shelley? Yeah, in the name of Jesus. There it is, right there. Just receive. Miss Smiley. Father, we love you. Jesus. Jesus. Shotobra. Stoner, that's fine. You can hug her. It's all good. I want change. I want change. Just lift your hands where you are. I want change. And just close your eyes and say, "And Father, today I change. Today I yield my heart to change. Change, may you have a grip on us tonight. May you wreck us tonight. May you take us to the place where you want this church to be. Father, I ask tonight that you imprint the vision of Harvest Point Church. You imprint the vision of Harvest Point Church, and that we change into Jesus. May we love like Jesus. May we walk like Jesus. May we cast out devils from this day forth. May we cast out devils like Jesus. May we raise the dead like Jesus. May we laugh like Jesus. May we walk like Jesus. May we go to our work like Jesus. Father, tonight we declare we want to be just like our older brother. Woo! May we set captives free like Jesus. May we smack the devil like Jesus. Just shout change. Say it like you mean it.
Change.
Say it like you mean it.
Change.
Just close your eyes for us right now, right now. Father, in Jesus' name. There's a greater separation about to happen for you. A separation unto the things of the Lord. Unto the things of God. I even thank you, Father, for the dreams that you're going to give him. Where he's going to see you in the dreams. See you. He's going to see you in his dreams. And you're going to begin to speak to him on a greater level. Father, I pray for the burn of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for the healing anointing. For the healing anointing. Embrace it. You're not going to know why you're going to see people sick. It's because God's showing you what's wrong with them. You're going to lay hands on them. And they're going to be healed. Courtney, get ready to shine like never before. To shine like never before. You too. Sorry, I didn't mean to scare you. I didn't mean to scare you. Yeah, you too. You're going to be a mouthpiece for the Lord. It's going to be super bold, like, really? Lord, you want me to say that? Like that? Yes, like that. Because it's going to come out bold. But you truly fear him. And that nervousness to speak, it's not nervousness, it's the fear of the Lord. It's the fear of the Lord, the reverence of the Lord. It's the reverence of the Lord. The Lord says you have that. Let's just hold hands where we are. No hugs yet. Wait till later. They don't have to get up. They can stay where they are. Father, we pray for this body. Tonight is just the first night that we step into. Woo! That we step into. That we step into, I can't get past that, that we step into a greater realm. A greater realm. There was a part, thank you for that, Lord, where there was no one sick among them. There was no one sick. There was no one sick among them. A greater realm. Whoo, Father, we thank you for that greater realm. Of glory. We want to. We thank you. We thank you, Lord, for changing us. Oh, shebro kanaya telebo shitin in the mosha vroto kata. Change, 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 change. in your heart first, and out of your heart shall flow the issues of life. Father, we thank you for tonight. We thank you for tonight. Say, I want to change. And I am changed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen.
I tell you one thing. By definition of the word growth, it's impossible to grow without change. So the issue of change requires, growth requires change, or it isn't even called growth. Something that doesn't change doesn't grow. And that's where God's growing us up. So praise God. Hallelujah. Things are supernaturally imparted tonight. These are deposits into your spirit. And these grace deposits, they'll start functioning, happening, what was on the inside of you. Bless God tonight. These words that are spoken according to the Bible are called life. And words of life is what we're taking to the world. Some people in the world, they think sometimes you're crazy, you're nuts, you're just, why would you believe in something you can't see? And my question is, you can't see them? I see them all the time. And they think, well, you're seeing something that's not there. I'm seeing something that is there. I'm seeing a reality that is so real that my life before couldn't see anything. And they think, well, you're attaching yourself to something. I'm so attached. That's right. But I'm attaching myself to love. And what a sweet deal is that. I remember my anger years without God. I remember trying to be an agnostic, trying to be clever. And when I gave all that up, the anger went away. And it's way better this way. Praise God. Your loss factors don't have to be a loss factor. You can factor them out and just say, my gain blows away any loss that I could ever have. And if you've suffered something that feels like I've lost them forever or something forever, I tell you what, anybody that's lost into God is not lost. There's only one huge permanent loss that ever could occur, and that is losing somebody that doesn't know Christ. Now, that is the only single permanent loss that ever could occur. Anything apart from that, everything else is blink of an eye, temporary. Praise God. There'll be a quick work in these final days. In fact, there'll be a quick work in these final years. I know that we're thinking, well, Jesus is going to come any second. In heaven's time, it'll be any second. We have some years to finish here. And, you know, next Thursday, I'll be teaching our end times update again as we go through prophecies. We're a generation that's unique, a calling that is just assigned to us. God decided that you'd be alive and position you here for the time right before the return of Christ. But there are years to go and a final revival to participate in, and that revival is going to be one of love and repentance, turning to God. Being so free that you never thought you could have the best part of your life being the last part of your life. Rather than thinking, oh, the good years have all gone by, you ain't seen nothing yet, is a kind of a spiritual phenomena that you can't know that. All you can know is that with God, it can only get better and greater. And there's a greater anointing and this calling that's come into our lives. You have to attach yourself to it. Otherwise, you'll feel like the world does, like we're spinning down. Where did we go to that water park one time? Up by the Dells? Now, they didn't tell me which slide to get on, but me and Devante, one of the grandsons, went down that slide into that darkness, and we came out into a huge, it felt like a large toilet bowl. And we're whipping around the side, and I'm thinking, okay, this is, okay, now I think I can relate to what's going on. This is like a large toilet bowl. I was trying to find out where we're going to go out the bottom and that. I thought, where, is this just forever? You did. But it feels like the world is going down, and it is. In these days, the world is not going to get better. You will get better, but the world won't. To try to save the world is not going to happen because it will wax worse. To save people from a dying world, that's our assignment. To save America is never going to happen. America is toast. America is not eternal. To save Americans is a reality that we're assigned to. It saddens me the way the world and the country's going. And when Ekum was speaking that out, he was speaking prophetically. It's a world that's gone bad and won't get good, but the people that leave the world will get good. God only does good. God only is good. That's his bottom line. And anybody that attaches themselves starts having a good life in the midst of the rest of the mess. And so what the days that are ahead are going to be challenging. And the people that know their Lord will do great exploits. And you'll see the miracles as we've been seeing them over this last year. The greatest miracle of all is a changed life from the inside out. When you discover, wow, it is so different. When you look at people and you actually look at them, you may not even know them, and you have this sense of love towards them. And you look at somebody that the world might cast away because they may not have the appearance or looks or beauty of the standard that they want. And you look at them and you think, they're gorgeous. Everybody I look at is gorgeous. They're just beautiful. So beautiful. So beautiful. And that's how God sees all of us. But when that love of God is kicking in, it's so nice to love and be loved. But it's not like the world loves. It's a different kind. Boy, just to tap into that and know you're loved. We were talking this afternoon, this morning, late brunch, sitting around the breakfast table with Ekum, talking about the importance of affirming people. We were talking about parents affirming their children, the cross-sexual thing, where the fathers affirm the daughters and the mothers affirm the sons. And if they don't get that affirmation, then what happens is they seek it out. They seek out that relationship for the rest of their life. The women seek out relationship with many men trying to get that affirmation. The men seek it out in multiple relationships because they didn't get it from their moms. But when you love people and doing it right and they are affirmed, like I'm looking at you and you are valuable, then they don't have to seek out those relationships, which never is going to satisfy them anyway. I mean, even the people that have been married for years and years and years realize that that other person they're married to falls short in the ability to supply them everything they need because only God, that God part, that spark of life comes from God. And as good as they try to make it, you realize they're not God. Even the women that serves their husband as if they're serving the Lord, they're going, yeah, you don't know my husband. Yeah, he's nothing like Jesus. And the answer is, well, you serve him as if he is, as unto the Lord. Praise God. But that affirmation that says, not only are you okay, I'm not even mad at all your stuff. It's not even in front of me. God is glad that you're alive and doing what you're doing. He's not measuring things and ready to just jump and judge in a moment's notice. He's so ready just to say, come here, come here. Just to say, come on. Ekum was talking about his youngest son who talks. and he'll enter the room and sit down with Ecom, and off he goes. You know? And his other son who'll be the silent one, where you have to pull everything out of them. And here we got the God our Father. He's got Christians that you got to pull everything out of them. And the other son that shows up, blah, 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 you know. I want to be the blah, 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 blah one. I want God to say, oh, here he comes. I know if he shows up, it's going to be a conversation. Go for hours. He said I think it's Joshua, right? Talk for hours. Plop down and talk to the parents for hours. I aspire to be like Joshua. I aspire to be like that. You know? Anyway, bless God. Bless God. Well, tomorrow is our celebration of our anniversary, and we'll be here at 10 o'clock in the morning for our morning service, followed by a feast. And every lady in every church is a great cook. I get that. Ours is just like the rest of the churches, except a little bit better. I don't know how to say it. Every church I've been to, it's been great. But this one is like, are you kidding me? We got cooks here that could be on every cooking show around. But anyway, that's tomorrow. So I'm just going to close with a word of prayer, then we'll be dismissed for tonight. Heavenly Father, we bless you. We love you. We love you, Jesus. And we thank you, Holy Spirit, on the inside of us for the anointing that's here tonight, the blessing that's here tonight, the grace deposits that are here tonight, words that were spoken that open up a future that our lives will meet. Our feet will walk on that path and arrive with those words that were spoken tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.